Boston.
Once this was the tallest building in the entire state, said Vera Griffin. They named this restaurant the Top of the Hub. You could see clear into New Hampshire from here.
Sitting across the candle-lit table from her, Castiglione could see little outside the restaurant's sweeping windows, except a forest of other office towers. He had no desire to make small talk with this woman. What was Mr. Otero's reaction when you told him I need to speak with him personally? Griffin dimpled into an almost guilty smile.
He doesn't like the World Council very much. He thinks you should leave Jordan Kell alone.
Arching a brow at her, Castiglione said, Leave him alone to be attacked by fanatics? Murdered by terrorists? That doesn't make much sense. She shrugged her slim shoulders.
That's what Mr. Otero believes. I'm in no position to argue with him about it.
Castiglione accepted defeat graciously. Well, let's forget him and Jordan Kell and everything else. You tell me the story of your life, and I'll tell you the story of mine. Griffin nodded happily.
You first.
Castiglione was only partway through a heavily edited autobiography by the time they finished dinner, went down to the street, and walked leisurely up to Beacon Hill and Griffin's shabby studio apartment. It was while they were in bed together that she finally admitted that Jordan Kell himself would make a surprise appearance on the show she was producing and sit for an interview with Carlos Otero. Castiglione lay beside her in the darkness, and as Griffin snored lightly in a happy slumber, he wondered how he could stop this show from going on the air. But first I've got to get out of this bed and back to my hotel, he said to himself. After dinner, Jordan showed Carlos Otero some of the imagery that Elise Rudaki had sent him. The two men sat together in Otero's man cave, where one entire wall was a holographic viewer. For nearly 2 hours they watched planet after devastated planet. Worlds scrubbed clean of all life by the passage of the death wave. They sat side by side in yieldingly comfortable wing chairs, lit only by the glow from the viewer, and watched death spreading across the galaxy. Elise Rudaki's voice nearly broke into sobs more than once.
There are so many of them, she said in a tear-choked whisper. So many.
Otero said nothing, his eyes fixed on the scenes of desolation, the glass of mezcal in his hand untouched. Jordan had drained his scotch long ago, but sat riveted in his chair, unable to get up and pour himself more. At last the three-dimensional display went dark, and the room's scattered lamps came on again softly. Otero put his untouched drink down on the table next to his chair, then turned to Jordan. Those are actual images, not computer-generated? Actual images, said Jordan. They're not fakes, not touched up, enhanced. Jordan said evenly, Those are the images recorded by spacecraft that the predecessors sent to worlds engulfed by the gamma wave. Unmoved, Otero said, You know if there's any trickery here, any falsification of any kind, no matter how trivial, some wise-ass techie will figure it out and beat us over the head with the evidence. That could destroy us. Fighting down a surge of irritation, Jordan replied, The astronomers of New Earth are not charlatans. What reason could they have to enhance those images? Aren't they horrific enough for you? Otero nodded grimly. I'll get my technical people to go over them. We have to be 1,000% certain about these images before we show them on the air. Jordan replied tightly, Very well. At last Otero reached for his drink. This is powerful stuff.
It's real.
And this death wave could do the same thing to us here on Earth?
When it gets here.
In 2,000 years.
Jordan said, 2,000 or 2 million. Once it gets here, it will kill every living creature in the solar system. Unless you're adequately protected.
And your aliens can protect us?
They can show you how to protect yourselves.
Otero gulped at his mezcal. Once he woke up in his hotel room, Rodolfo Castiglione called Anita Halleck, but not before ordering his breakfast, and a dozen roses to be delivered to Vera Griffin's desk at the Otero Network headquarters. No name, no card. She'll know who they're from, he told himself. Halleck looked impatient.
I have only a few minutes before another damnable budget meeting.
I think I found Jordan Kell, Castiglione said, almost offhandedly as he reached for a croissant.
Where?
Carlos Otero is sheltering him, Castiglione said, munching on the croissant. I don't know exactly where, but Otero has him, I'm sure. Get to him. Warn him that he's harboring a wanted fugitive. It's not that easy, my dear. So far, he's refused to see me. I'll call him myself, Halleck said. He can't refuse to talk to me. I suppose not. In the meantime, I'm going to try a back-channel approach.
Back-channel?
Strictly unofficial, off the record. But perhaps I can get to see Kell that way.
And what good will that do?
With a knowing smile, Castiglione said, Once I meet with him and know for certain where he is, we can call in a security team to take him. Halleck smiled back. Rudy, you're little short of despicable. He put on a pained expression. Little short? Where have I failed?